See in the Gospel of John, the purpose of John's Gospel, it says this: Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. Now, I don't know about you guys, but to me that reads like a big fat, the end. This was written so you believe, the end. And sure enough, that is the end of chapter 20. But then comes a little surprise. There's this little bonus chapter, chapter 21. Now, if you're bored through the week, please feel free to go and research why scholars think there's this little ending and then there's a bonus chapter. And let me just define what bored should look like. That's when you've gone to Casey Hospital, you've prayed for everyone that's sick, and they're all at the checkout counter. And the same for the morgue. And if there's any people who are needy or need food or clothing in Casey, once you've done that, once you've given everyone the opportunity to follow Jesus, then feel free to research something like that. So, but for tonight's sake, how about we just take one thing from this, something practical. And it's this: anything that's written in the Gospels is important and has a purpose. Elsewhere in the Gospel, John says this: Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. But here it says, but these are the things which have been chosen to be recorded. They have a specific purpose that you might believe. Okay, now with that in mind, let's read this very next thing that happens in the bonus little chapter, chapter 21. Steve, can you bring that up for us? John 21, Jesus and the miraculous catch of fish. Afterwards, Jesus appeared again to his disciples by the Sea of Galilee. It happened this way. John 21, I love the little introduction it puts in. It says, breakfast by the sea. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And in this way, he showed himself. New Century Version, it says, Jesus showed himself. This is how he showed himself. The Message says, Jesus appeared. This is how he did it. Okay, is anyone captivated yet? Well, we've got one person. Okay, that's good. Look, let's just try one more translation. Stephen, put the next one up for us. This is the NASB, John 21. It says, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and he manifested himself in this way. Now, those other translations are just trying to keep the language simple, but actually this translation is the most accurate to what the Greek is saying. It's saying that Jesus manifested himself. That is, he made himself known to them, that he made himself completely visible to them, that he allowed himself to be understood and recognised fully for who he is. That's what manifested means. And in this first verse, in chapter 21, it says, and this is how he manifested himself. This is how Jesus did it. This is how he made himself known. Okay, so we had in the end of chapter 20, which I put up, which says the important things, the things which you need to know and believe, have been written down. It's all got a purpose. And then the very next thing it says, by the way, Jesus manifested himself to the disciples, and this is how he chose to do it. Okay, are you now interested in what it says after this? Yeah, I am. Let's read on. Next one. It says, it happened this way. Simon Peter, Thomas, also known as Didymus, Nathanael from Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them, and they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and they got in the boat, but that night they caught nothing, not even a cold. Now, remember that this story is about Jesus manifesting himself. We've got to keep focused on that. Now, why do I say that? Because far too many people read this story and get caught about Peter going fishing. Oh my goodness, Peter's going fishing. Has he lost his faith? Is he walking backwards from Jesus? Has he returned to his old ways? Didn't he leave his nets when he followed Jesus? Help me out here. Put your hand up if you think that Peter never fished again for those 3 years on the road with Jesus. Come on, put your hand up if you believe it. Two people. Everyone else knows that Gareth catches people out, so they're going, I believe it, but I'm not putting my hand up. Okay, let me ask you a question. Do you remember the story of where Jesus sends someone to go fishing to collect the temple tax? He says, go out and catch the fish with the 4-drachma coin in its mouth. Who did he send to go fishing for that? It was Peter. And in that process, he says to Peter, go throw your line out. He didn't say go borrow a line and throw that one out. He said throw your line out. Well, that's pretty interesting, isn't it? I wonder if there are any other occasions where Peter threw out his line and went fishing. Something else that's interesting in the story is it's not just Peter who's going fishing here. He says, I'm off going fishing, and the guys go, we're with you. So you've got to ask a question, have they all started walking backwards on their faith? I don't even know if Thomas or Nathaniel were fishermen in the first place to walk backwards to do this. Maybe since Jesus has been crucified, the miraculous type provisions dried up. Maybe the women who had been supporting his ministry have stopped doing this. Maybe the guys just wanted to go out fishing for the night. Who knows why they're out fishing? It's only speculation. What's it even matter why they're out fishing? Because the focus of the story is about to be Jesus manifesting himself, not a debate as to whether Peter should have been out fishing or not. But, and a big but, and yes, my butt's going to look big in this, Jesus does feel. How would you feel if you were one of the disciples at this point? You followed Jesus for 3 years, and it's been a pretty action-packed 3 years at that. You saw 5,000 fed, you saw 4,000 fed. You saw people raised from the dead. You saw complete authority over nature and all things spiritual. And then, Jesus who you're following, who you're now depending upon, who you've invested now your whole life into, is arrested and then crucified. And then you're left running with your very life. The rug has been pulled out from under your feet. Reality set in, the dream's over, everything has just crashed around you. And then something more traumatic than that happens. Jesus has just been turning up to people by themselves or with other believers. How do you feel now? Do you feel pretty confused? And you know there's going to be more to this story, but you don't know what that's going to be. Hey, maybe you don't have to picture this type of thing through someone else's eyes. Maybe, like the disciples, you've been on some type of journey, some type of mission, some type of endeavour, some type of life journey or experience, and then the rug was pulled out from under your feet. And you know there's more to this story. You know that the matter is still on the table, but it's just sitting there unresolved or in pieces. Or how about this? How would you feel if you didn't picture this just through any disciple's eyes, but you were particularly Peter? The last interaction you had one-on-one with Jesus was when he stared at you across the courtyard just after you denied him 3 times. Then the rooster crowed, and then shortly afterwards he was crucified. You're probably feeling pretty guilty because you let your mate down, now he's dead, but you survived it. But then you discover that your mate who you deserted isn't dead anymore. He gave you that look across the courtyard. What's he going to say when he gets the chance to have a little chat? Personally, I'd be squirming. But once again, maybe you don't have to try and picture this through someone else's eyes. Maybe just like Peter, your own loyalty at some stage with Jesus has had a breaking. Types of circumstances. So let's read on and see what he has to say to us tonight. Next slide, please, Steve. I'm going out to fish, Simon Peter told them. And they said, we'll go with you. So they went out and got into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Early in the morning, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples did not realize that it was Jesus. He called out to them, friends, haven't you any fish? No, they answered. He said, throw your net on the right side of the boat and you will find some. When they did, they were unable to haul the net in because of the large number of fish. Now, I want to ask you, does this story sound vaguely familiar to you? Does it sound a bit like the story of the miraculous catch of fish at the early on in Jesus' ministry, particularly very early on when he meets up with Peter? In fact, I'd say it's basically identical to that story that we find in Luke 5. Here in John 21 are the disciples with an unknown future. Everything they felt they knew had recently changed, and they know something else lays incomplete. What are we to do next? And Jesus starts by reminding them of something he has already done in their midst, right back at the very beginning. "Do you remember when you met me?" says Jesus. Next slide, please, Steve. Then the disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." As soon as Simon Peter heard him say, "It's the Lord," he wrapped his outer garment around him, for he had taken it off, and jumped into the water. The other disciples followed in the boat, towing the net full of fish, for they were not far from shore, about 100 yards, about 92.4 metres about. Next slide, please, Steve. Verse 9, when they landed, they saw a fire of burning coals there with fish on it and some bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish you have just caught." So Simon Peter climbed back into the boat and dragged the net ashore. It was full of large fish, 153. But even with so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples. Jesus directs the disciples to throw their nets. They actually sort of argue with him, don't they? "We've been doing this all night." But in this story, it just says that they did it straight away. In Luke 5, as they bring the catch in, the nets begin to tear and the boats sink. It looks like they can't cope with the fullness of what Jesus brings. But not in this story. This story says that the nets didn't tear, despite the large number and size of the fish. Back in Luke 5, the miracle says that actually Peter, in some ways, was repelled from Jesus. He says, "Get away from me, Lord." And what's he do in this story? He jumps out the boat and can't get to Jesus fast enough. Back in Luke 5, when the disciples see the miraculous catch of fish, it says they were astonished. But not in this story. In fact, it seems like they're so focused on Jesus, it was actually him who directed them back to the fish and says, "Hey guys, how about you bring some of those on shore as well?" And then they count them. What's going on? Well, when things are looking confusing or different to the disciples, Jesus turns up and he directs them back to the beginning. "Do you remember when you were called? Do you remember when you first came to faith? Do you remember the radical journey you set out on?" Hey, Jesus might be even asking one of you that this evening. "Do you remember? Do you remember me in all those things?" But then Jesus goes on to show Peter and the other disciples all of the change that has happened in them and around them since that time. "You've grown since back then. I've been training and equipping you all along. I've been changing your lives. Hey guys, have a look at this. You didn't argue with direction, you just threw your nets. You weren't astonished at the catch and it didn't repel you from me. You couldn't get back to me quick enough. And you focused on me, not the miracle." Maybe again tonight for someone, Jesus wants to show them what he has done for them since they were first called. But there is something even bigger in this story. Remember that Jesus is manifesting himself. He's making himself known. And there's still serious, outstanding business on the table, particularly between Jesus and Peter. So what does Jesus do? What does he say? Now, throughout the story, he has been obviously drawing the disciples back in closer to him, back to an intimate place. And he gets to the point where he says, "Right, let's get down to the real business on the table before us." What does he say? He says, go back please, Steve. Thank you. "Come and have breakfast." There on the shore is a fire of burning coals, there with fish on it and some bread. Now, just to clarify, I don't remember Jesus ever doing a miracle of convenience for himself. He only ever did miracles for people. Therefore, I can only conceive that prior to this time, while the disciples think that they've been out in the water by themselves, Jesus has been standing on the shore, watching over them and preparing for them. I think there can only be a fire of charcoal because Jesus has been there some time, tending a fire so that it burned down to some cooking coals. And he's been preparing a meal for them with this fish and the bread. Jesus has been watching over them and preparing for them, and this is really important for the disciples to see and to know. But Jesus still has some outstanding business to do with at least Peter. Remember, their relationship had a breaking point. And so what is Jesus' focus in this story? It's having breakfast with him. Jesus manifested himself. He made himself known, and this is how he did it. This is Jesus. I have outstanding business to do with you, Peter. You denied me. Now come and receive what I've prepared for you. Come and sit with me. Come and eat with me. Come and fellowship with me. Sit with me, dine with me, dwell with me. Next slide, please, Steve. When they had finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these? Yes, Lord, he said, you know that I love you. Jesus said, feed my lambs. Okay, let me ask you a question. When did Jesus get down to business with Peter? When they had finished eating after breakfast. Relationship and presence first, calling, direction and kingdom business after that. Breakfast before business. Yes, Jesus has a whole world-changing work for Peter to commence. Feed my lambs. But from intimacy with Jesus, strengthened by a meal that Jesus has set before him and prepared for him. Tonight, is God wooing you back by saying, this is who I am? Reminding of you who you are in him. Showing you that he desires primarily intimacy and communing or feasting with him as the starting place. And I think that Jesus has been watching over us and he's been preparing for us even tonight. And he's just waiting for someone to see and cry, it's the Lord! And for us to rush across into his presence and what he has prepared for us. I'm just going to pray. I'm just going to ask Teresa to come up and keep leading us in worship.